If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us and challenge us, that you would help us become more mindful of you, that we might focus on you better, that we might be changed. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for the work that you have given to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you've ever played the game Musical Chairs. You know the game. You set up one chair for everyone who's playing. You kind of face them all outward, an outward-facing circle. Then you take one chair away. The music starts. Everyone starts walking around the chairs. And then, without warning, the music stops. And everyone has to find and sit in a chair. Only there's a problem. Because there's not enough chairs. And so one person is left standing, and that person is now out. Everyone stands back up. You remove another chair. The music starts. The walking commences until the music stops. And then again, everyone scrambles for too few chairs. The problem, of course, and the fun, is that as the game goes on, everyone gets more frantic and frenetic because we learn to live with our lack. We push and angle and shove to make sure that we won't go without. We worry and we rush and we grasp and we hoard. And of course, others end up displaced or hurt or out. I wonder if that could serve as an analogy for something bigger. When it feels like there's not enough, we live with more speed, more worry, more selfishness, more busyness. When it feels like there's not enough, we live with less care, less freedom, less patience, less peace, less space. We learn to live out of our lack. Luckily, that's just a game and has nothing to do with how any of us live. But let me back up for a minute first. Today we are continuing our second sermon series on our way through the book of Acts. In the first series, we saw how the church was gathered together, how they were filled up by the Holy Spirit, and then how they were sent out into the world for the sake of the world. Gathered, filled, and sent. In this series, all of that becomes more difficult as we begin to see more challenges arise, more conflict arise, more controversy. And yet, filled with the Spirit, the early church is called to and lives out a boldness that's rather remarkable. Bold speech. Bold listening. Bold unity. Bold perseverance. And today we'll see bold service. Of course, as Pastor Josh pointed out a couple weeks ago, this isn't boldness the way we sometimes define it today. It's not about stubbornness or belligerence. It's not about refusing to hear anything but one's own opinion. Rather, it's about conviction. It's about trust and hope and belief in something right and true and holy. So if you would, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 42. Acts, chapter 5, verse 42. We've been talking about sometimes the conflicts and controversies and challenges that come from the outside of an organization, but then sometimes they come from the inside. And then sometimes they just come due to our growth or even just the status quo. Today we're going to read about a problem that the church faced that was simply a growing pain. And they had to figure out how to navigate through. So if you would join me in the passage. Acts chapter 5, verse 42 through chapter 6, verse 7. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." The proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Amen. As our passage begins, we see that the disciples are all still meeting together, both in the temple, at church, and in their houses together. And they never stopped doing the work of faith. But then, as tends to happen, problems arise. Now, some of these problems simply crop up due to negligence, and sometimes they crop up due to mismanagement, and sometimes they crop up due to growth or health. Additionally, as tends to be the case, we naturally tend to group ourselves by any kind of similarity that we can find. And so in this case, the Greek Jewish widows and the Jerusalem Jewish widows have seemingly separated themselves and are being treated differently, distinctly. Not to mention that there may have also been some language issues there, some speaking Greek, some speaking probably Aramaic. Still, another problem exists as well. The people start to complain, to grumble, to gripe. Nothing malicious, nothing conspiring, no mutiny here, just incessant murmuring. And as if that's not enough, there's one more problem, one that many leaders face all the time. Something important isn't getting done, but if the leader chooses to do that themselves, they won't be doing their own jobs, and the whole mission will suffer because of their distraction. Those are the problems we face today. And again, these aren't as bad as some of the external problems we've been talking about, some of the controversies that have happened from within, but it's a problem. And if it's not addressed, it will distract, it will cause the community to come to a standstill. It will undermine the whole thing. And so the apostles gather everyone together and work to solve the problem. And they end up appointing 7 people to become the first deacons, to do the internal work of care and service, while the others continue to do the external work. And by this simple solution, they don't only fix the problem, but we are told that the word of God continues to spread. And my read on that is that if they had not navigated this the right way, the word of God may not have continued to spread like it was supposed to. Now, at first blush, these deacons seem to simply be an extra special kind of waiter. Frankly, even the apostles refer to the task to be done as waiting on tables. But then we get the sense that it's more than that as we look at the requirements for the job. Because the job requirements seem to suggest that this job is more than meets the eye. And to be fair, anyone who's ever waited tables at a restaurant knows that that job also is much more than meets the eye. And if you don't have superpowers, you won't be able to do it well. But you'll notice that our deacons will need to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And this will allow them to live out the bold service that we're talking about today, and which will remake not just them, but the whole community. And I think we can learn a lot about this bold service as we look deeper into those requirements that the disciples are looking for. because apparently bold service will require wisdom and faithfulness and the Holy Spirit. Wisdom, faithfulness, and the Holy Spirit. Quite frankly, maybe part of the reason that we have so much trouble with bold service is because we are deficient in one of those categories. Because it strikes me that there are certain problems that need to be overcome in order for us to serve well, and the three gifts that we're talking about today may be exactly what we need to overcome these problems. Allow us to live bold service out. Again, we'll need wisdom, faithfulness, and the Holy Spirit. And so we begin today with wisdom. You may notice that at first glance, that seems to be an odd requirement for one who will be serving. I mean, how much wisdom should be needed to feed someone or help someone or clothe someone or care? I mean, don't you just need to do something, anything for someone else? Isn't that all it really takes? Of course, there sure are a lot of needs when you start looking around, and a lot of different ways to address all those needs. Do you give a fish to someone who is hungry, or do you teach them to fish? Of course, it's hard to teach someone to fish if they're already hungry, and it's hard to explain why fishing's important if they're not hungry. And what happens if they aren't allowed to be near the water to fish in the first place? Can they afford all the things that are needed in order to fish well? What about all the red tape, like fishing licenses? How's that going to be addressed? What happens if they're allergic to fish? Who's going to teach them to cook the fish? What if they don't have the patience to fish? And what happens, of course, if there are no fish? Wow, those are good questions. I don't even know where to start. And you know what? I'm actually pretty busy, and I don't really even know that much about fishing, so I'm just going to leave that for someone else to figure out, for someone else to do something about. My friends, that is why bold service requires wisdom. There is so much need. The problems are so big. The issues are so numerous and complex and interwoven that we just become paralyzed and we give up and we don't serve. And by the way, the fishing one's an easy one. Look at any of the issues that have bubbled to the surface of the news over the past few days and weeks and months and years. Sure, they're all simple from one point of view, but what happens when there are 9 points of view? And if you were to actually give the benefit of the doubt to someone on the other side or any one of those other 8 sides, what if they are advocating what they are advocating because of good values that they hold? What then? Plus, with any of these issues, where do you even start? Government? Should they fix the problem? Can they fix the problem? Education? Is it just a problem of re-educating someone or everyone? Financial, that's where you've solved the problem, but who's going to pay for it and who's benefiting from it? Psychologically or sociologically, are there deeper reasons for these problems? Historically, why are we here in the first place? And then, of course, religion. How does our sin, our pride, our need to be right get in the way of finding a solution? And again, as the problems get bigger and bigger and more complex, we tend to just throw up our hands and give up. Instead of doing something, we don't do anything. Which is why we're going to need wisdom. To know what to do, to know how to do it. We're going to need imagination to see through the complexity and find a way forward. We're going to need organization to match our gifts and our abilities with the needs of our community and our world. We're going to need perspective to see enough of the facets of the problem to actually address what needs to be fixed. Looking back to our passage, these new deacons are probably going to need to start by simply getting some food to people who are hungry. But then more than that, they're going to need to put some systems in place to make sure that everyone is still being taken care of well. And then who is going to administer all of this? Where do the complaints go when it's not working? How do we make sure that no one is taking advantage of this new system? How do we make sure that no one is falling through the cracks? And how can we do all of that, design all of that, implement all of that in real time without caring less for anyone in the process? Maybe this is why the apostles are looking for some people of wisdom, because that's the only way that bold service can get done. Of course, we're also reminded that we are called to be a people of bold service, and so maybe we also need to be a people of wisdom, of discernment, of imagination and creativity, because we too have been called to be a people of bold service. But wisdom won't solve all our problems as we pursue bold service, because we're also going to need faithfulness as we live out this bold service in our lives and in our community. And again, at first glance, that seems rather odd. I mean, why would you need faithfulness in order to serve? Isn't it about simply doing something, doing anything, like we just talked about? Just for clarity's sake, we're not talking about faithfulness as another word for being Christian, as if that was a prerequisite for a person serving, because of course it isn't. But bold service, in contrast to kind of more regular service, may require a deeper change, a more intentional love, a more sustained effort. Bold service requires us becoming a different kind of people so that we can serve boldly. And the reason for this is simple enough. Bold service is costly. It means that we are giving something up for someone else, that we are giving up some of our time for someone else. We are giving of ourselves, our energy, our effort, our work for someone else. You see, problems that require bold service tend to need resources like money. They tend to need us to find and give up some of our time. They require us to reshuffle and reprioritize our lives. And interestingly, for many of us, it's that last one that's the most difficult, because we don't have the extra space. And it's hard for us to make the extra space in our lives in order to serve boldly. More than that, not only does bold service require us putting someone else's needs ahead of our own, but we also need to bring them and their situation near to us. And this can be messy. This has the potential to make our lives more difficult. This may mean that we are less in control. This may cause us to change our perspective. This may require us to help carry something heavy for someone else. And of course, it may cause us to be uncomfortable as we are reminded of how blessed we truly are. When we care for the hungry, we are reminded of how well we eat and how much we waste. As we try and help the less fortunate, we are reminded just how fortunate we truly are. When we care for someone hurting, it reminds us just how fragile life can be. And it's because of these challenges that bold service requires faithfulness, because we are going to have to stick with it, to commit, to engage, to risk, to pay the price. We step into these situations in order to be able to help others through them. But that's messy, and that's risky, and that's costly, which is why we're going to need faithfulness. Frankly, this may be what the apostles saw. If they were the solution to this problem, or if they found a quick fix, it would either pull them away from the service that they were already doing, or they would need to fix it again right away in the future. but instead by giving this responsibility over to these newly appointed deacons, they actually find a way to solve the problem more personally and permanently. This is important work. This needs to be done. This is a part of who we are, and thus these deacons don't play a side role. They aren't second-class leaders, but instead they are a pivotal part of our working together and mixing our lives as we pursue our mission. These deacons, these servants, these bold servers are important. And therefore, we will need people who are faithful, people who stick with it, people who will engage, and people who will commit, so that we know this problem will be solved and managed and maintained. As we live out bold service, we too will need faithfulness. But we also know where this faithfulness comes from, because we have experienced God's faithfulness. What more? We will need God's faithfulness in the future. Because most of the situations that call for bold service require more than we can give or help or fix. And so we'll need to learn how to lean and rely on God better while we serve. But we know that God is faithful, and so we look for God's provision and God's presence and His strength so that we can be boldly serving. But let's not stop there. Because while wisdom and faithfulness are a part of the answer on our way to bold service, we will also need the Holy Spirit. Because we need to become a different kind of people, a more selfless people, a more humble and holy kind of people. And this is going to require a supernatural transformation in us. Bold service doesn't just require us putting someone else's needs ahead of our own. Instead, it will require a reorientation, a restructuring of our lives. We will need to be different. We will need to be filled with a new kind of compassion. We will need a new patience so that we can bear one another's burdens better. We will need a different kind of strength, so that we can enter into someone else's situation, not for what we can get, not for how it'll make us feel, not so that we can share some of our burdens with them, but purely because God has entered into our lives and our stories and worked this change in us. In our passage, these deacons are changed. They are given a new identity, and this reshapes their lives so that they can lead the church in a specific, targeted, and strategic ministry and mission. This isn't just general service. They are on a mission, and they have committed to this new work. This is a very specific problem which requires a very specific kind of solution. The Hellenistic widows were being overlooked. The deacons weren't just there to generally be serving. They were instead assigned to address the specific needs and peoples who were being underserved. And for this, they would need the Holy Spirit to change them, to enable them, to empower them to serve better. But this also means that they needed to see others differently. They needed to see these Hellenistic widows not as foreigners, not as second-class citizens, not even as a problem, but instead as valued members of the body of Christ. Quite frankly, this is also why we need the Holy Spirit as well. Because sometimes we need new eyes so that we can see others as God sees them. Too often we view those in need of help as being less than, as being deficient, as being weak, as being infectious. And because of that, we hold them at arm's length. We look down our noses at them, and we don't want to get too close so that we won't be changed, so that we can sleep easier, so that we won't have to enter into their situation and their story. And yet, as Christians, we believe that all people were made in the image of God, and that gives everyone a profound worth and dignity. Quite frankly, if God can look at us with compassion and mercy and love, surely we can do the same for others. But if you're like me, you're going to need help with this. And this is why we need the Holy Spirit, so that our hearts can be changed, so that we can move closer, so that we can invest in others. Maybe most of all, we need the Holy Spirit to help change us, to change our identity. What if we saw ourselves differently? What if we saw ourselves as God's hands and feet? What if we aspired to not just sainthood, but servanthood? If we could see ourselves differently, we would be transformed. I mean, it's one thing to volunteer. It's another to become a volunteer. The first requires only a few hours. The second requires us to change our lives, reprioritize our schedules, upset our status quo for the sake of the other. I can go to church or I can become a disciple. Those look different. I can serve or I can become a servant. But as our identity changes, we become a people of bold service so that we can bear with others, so that we can better live out the mission that God has given us. And in so doing, we can change not just our church, but our community. But it's going to take wisdom, it's going to take faithfulness, and it's going to take the Holy Spirit. If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we pray that you would help us to become a different kind of church, that we would be the church of bold service. But we acknowledge we will need your help. We will need your wisdom. We will need a different kind of faithfulness. We will need an extra helping of the Holy Spirit to change us, to move in us, and then to call us forward. Lord, we pray even now that you would be gathering us together as your people and filling us up with your Holy Spirit so that we might be sent out to do your work in our community and in our world. Lord, grant us new eyes that we might see the needs around us. Grant us a new courage to step into situations that are hard. And grant us the wisdom and discernment to know what to do and how to do it, how to point them to you. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived this out. We pray that we would follow him better even today. And we pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.